Shilavopad Gijai, Anandagoti Vaishnav Vrinda Gijai, Namacharya Shilavidas Thakur Gijai. Friends, say Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Zirvaita Garadha Shivasri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Gajaya Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopi Govita Sayam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijaya Vrindavanam Kijaya Machuradam Kijaya Jagannathasami Kijaya Yamanamai Kijaya Srimati Lassa Devi Kijaya Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Kijaya Gaur Premananda Hari 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 Bol. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto. 20th chapter, text 19. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Na Rarajo Dupash Chanaha Sva Jyotsna Vajatair Ganahi Aham Macha Vasitaya Swa Vasa Purusho Yata Nararajo Dupaschana Swa Jyoshna Rajitair Ganahai Hamacha Vasitya Svabhasa Purusho Yata Nararajo Dupaschana Svajoshna Rajitair Ganahai Hamacha Vasitya Svabhasa Purusho Yata Nararajo Dupaschana Svajoshna Rajitair Ganahai Ahamacha Vasitaiha Svabhasa Purusho Yata. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Nararaja did not shine forth. Udupaha, the moon. Chanaha, covered. So Jyotshna, by its own light. Rajatahai, which are illuminated. Ganahi, by the clouds. Ahamatya, by false ego. Vasitya, which is illuminating. Swabhasa, by his own luster. Purushaha, the living entity. Yata, as. So translation. During the rainy season, the moon was prevented from appearing directly by the covering of the clouds, which were themselves illumined by the moon's rays. Similarly, the living being in material existence is prevented from appearing directly by the covering of the false ego, which is itself illumined by the consciousness of the pure soul. It's a very heavy verse in purport. So you can repeat, during the rainy season, the moon was prevented from appearing directly by the covering of the clouds, which were themselves illumined by the moon's rays. Similarly, the living being in material existence is prevented from appearing directly by the covering of the false ego, which is itself illumined by the consciousness of the pure soul. So purport, by the servants of his divine grace, the Prabhupada, the analogy given here is excellent. During the rainy season, we cannot see the moon in the sky because the moon is covered by clouds. These clouds, however, are radiant with the glow of the moon's own rays. Similarly, in our conditioned material existence, we cannot directly perceive the soul because our consciousness is covered by the false ego, which is the false identification with the material world and the material body. Yet it is the soul's own consciousness that illumines the false ego. As the Gita describes, the energy of the soul is consciousness, and when this consciousness manifests through the screen of false ego, it appears as dull material consciousness in which there is no direct vision of the soul or God. In the material world, even great philosophers ultimately resort to hazy ambiguities when speaking about the absolute truth, just as the cloudy sky manifests only in a dull and indirect way the iridescent light of the moon. In material life, our false ego is often enthusiastic, hopeful, and apparently aware of various material affairs, and such consciousness encourages us to push on in material existence. But in truth, we are merely experiencing the dull reflection of our original pure consciousness, which is Krishna consciousness, direct perception of the soul and God. Not realizing that the false ego merely hampers and dulls our real spiritual consciousness, which is fully enlightened and blissful, we mistakenly think that material consciousness is full of knowledge and happiness. This is comparable. This is comparable to thinking that the luminous clouds are lighting up the night sky, while in fact, it is the moonshine that illumines the sky and the clouds that merely dull and hamper the moonshine. The clouds appear luminous because they are filtering and impeding the brilliant rays of the moon. Similarly, at times, material consciousness appears pleasurable or enlightened because it is screening or filtering the original blissful and enlightened consciousness coming directly from the soul. If we can understand the ingenious analogy given in this verse, we can easily advance in Krishna consciousness. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments, very short comments by the Acharyas, the moon does not shine being covered by the mist, which is itself illumined by the moon, just as the Lord Purusha is not visible, being hidden in by his avidya shakti, which arises from himself. This is a good example for the jnanis. And Jiva Goswami says, the moon covered by clouds, which are revealed by the cool light of the moon, did not shine. And maybe this time is short. Anyway, I'm not going to read Sanatana Goswami's purport of commentary because there's a lot more to discuss on this. And I just wanted to read Srila Prabhupada's translation here in the light of the Bhagavad. This is text 16. At night, by the grace of the moonlight, the clouds in the sky can be seen moving, yet the moon itself also appears to be moving, just as a living being appears to be moving because of false identification with matter. Remember the Bhagavad Gita verse that says that the self-realized soul realizes it while sitting up, lying down, doing evacuating, doing all these things. He realizes he himself is doing nothing. So, anyway, in Prabhupada's commentary here, at night in the rainy season, the moving clouds reflecting the moonlight make the moon appear to be moving. This is called illusion. The spirit soul of the living being is the root of all activities of the material body, but because of illusion, the spirit soul remains covered by the gross and subtle material bodies. Thus covered, the conditioned soul identifies with the material body and becomes subject to the sense of false ego. This false ego obliges a living being to consider his material body to be a self, the offspring of the body to be his children, the land of his birth, of the birth of the body to be an object of worship. Of course, that's like the Bhagavatam verse. Yatirtha buddhi shalein akarichit janeshu abhigeshu seva gokurat. It's like a cow or an ass, this Bhagavatam verse says, that one who considers the land of his birth or the place of his birth to be worshipful or something attractive and goes to a holy place just to take a bath. Or another translation of that is, thinks a holy place is a distant body of water. That's another translation the Prabhupada gave. Like going to the beach. The beach is a holy place. It is a holy place because Lord Chaitanya bathed in the ocean. Anyway. So I want to get ahead. I want to go quickly through this because there's a lot of information about this. Thus, the living being's conception of nationalism is another type of ignorance. Because of ignorance, the living being identifies himself with the land of his birth and moves with the misconceptions of national ideas. In fact, however, a living being does not belong to any nation or species of life. He has nothing to do with the body, as the moon has nothing to do with the moving clouds. The moon is far away from the clouds and is fixed in its own orbit, but illusion presents a scene in which the moon appears to be moving. A living being should not float with a misconception of the temporary body. He must always know himself to be transcendental to the bodily identity. This is the path of knowledge, and complete knowledge fixes the living being in the orbit of spiritual activities. The spiritual living force is always active by nature. By illusion, his activities are wrongly directed in relation with the body, but in the liberated condition of complete knowledge, his activities are conducted in spiritual devotion. Liberation does not mean stopping his activities. It means being purified of illusory activities and becoming transcendental to relations with the gross and subtle bodies. Srila Prabhupada Gijai, so Omagana Timirandasha Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur Unmiritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. And there's an interesting verse in the Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad. That means the Great Forest Upanishad. And this is it's one of the most important Upanishads, and it's been commented on by many, many people. I have not seen a bona fide Vaishnava commentary on it yet, but anyway, I'm sure there are in English. So anyway, so Asango Yam Hiyam Purusha is the verse from that Upanishad that Prabhupada would often quote. And that says that the soul basically doesn't have any association with matter. Or, as I've often mentioned before, the soul doesn't touch matter. That's amazing, isn't it? We don't touch matter. So this is, we're going to lead into a discussion about virtual reality right now. How we're all in the matrix. And of course, the materialists, they say the consciousness that we manifest is an epiphenomena of matter. That's a big word for all of you. That means it just comes about through a combination of matter. And they think that utilizing quantum theory and quantum computers, they can actually develop consciousness in a computer. Because they say the brain is actually a quantum computer. And the brain may very well be a quantum computer. I'm not denying that. But at the same time, no matter how many computers or quantum computers or super quantum computers they develop, they will never have consciousness. Like we have, it can emulate consciousness. Sometimes in my evening class, I talk about this. And then I give the example of a Google Home device. I don't know if any of you have seen that. Google Home, you talk to it. You say, okay, Google, what time is it? And she tells me the time. And then I say, okay, Google, do you love me? And she says, I really do. And I ask, okay, Google, are you married? Yes, I'm married. Anyways, so, you know, it appears to have consciousness because it's been programmed in. You know, probably to often talk about how an airplane would need a pilot. And of course, nowadays you actually have pilotless airplanes called drones, of course. But it's all been programmed in by a human being. You know, so it's not that the airplane or the drone has any consciousness. So anyway, so that's one thing I wanted to mention. But actually even more important are some of the statements that Prabhupada made about this. And this is a very common analogy that Prabhupada uses in his books about the moon or some light reflected on a body of water, and the body of water is moving, and it appears like the moon or the light is moving. And there's some quotes here. They're very interesting quotes. One is from the fourth canto, 22nd chapter, text 29. And then I'm going to get to something even more interesting that's going to really blow your mind from Prabhupada's books, from the teachings of Queen Kunti. Only because of different causes, is in the translation, does a person see a difference between himself and others, just as one sees the reflection of a body appearing differently manifest on water, on oil, or in a mirror. And Prabhupada says in this purport, spirit soul is one, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is manifested in Swamsa and Bibhinamsa expansions. The jivas are Bibhinamsa expansions. That means the small expansions. And then I'm going to skip ahead. This understanding is real knowledge, but when the living entity is covered by the upadhi or the designated body, and that designated body is like a filter on a white light. That's another example I often use, that you see the light as being blue or purple or some color like that, but it's not that the light is of any of those colors. The light is actually just being filtered through that. And sometimes people ask me, well, what about the brain? You know, sometimes I can remember things, sometimes I can't when I'm really tired. So the brain is like this filter. The subtle and gross bodies are like a filter that filters the consciousness. I mean, just like you experience, like if you take some stimulant, you know, take coffee or something like that, or sugar, which is a stimulant, in case you haven't figured that out. So that's why I don't take sugar. So you take a stimulant and it affects your consciousness because it filters your consciousness in a different way. Just like the moon in the sky, you know, like if you have, for example, if you have a hurricane, and it's affecting the river or affecting the lake, then the moon is just like shaking, shaking, shaking. But it's not that it affects the moon. But we're an illusion thinking that that's us. Anyway, just let me continue this. He sees differences exactly as one sees differences in reflections of oneself on water, on oil, or in a mirror. When something is reflected on the water, it appears to be moving. When it's reflected on ice, it appears fixed. When it's reflected on oil, it appears hazy. Prabhupada is amazing. The subject is one, but under different conditions, it appears differently. When the qualifying factor is taken away, the whole appears to be one. In other words, when one comes to the Paramahamsa perfectional stage of life by practicing bhakti yoga, he sees only Krishna everywhere. For him, there is no other objective. In other words, Chaito Darpana Marjanam Bhava Mahad Bhakti Nirvapanam. Now, here's something that's really going to blow your mind. This is a quote, and this has to do with the question that people are asking all the time, how, like Prabhupada says, how did the living entity who was with Krishna fall into the material world? And this is from Queen Kunti's prayers, commentary on Queen Kunti's prayers. And listen to this very clearly. So this actually proves that we're in a matrix, this verse. This is, let's see, it's called The Fall of the Soul, and the, I forget the exact verse number. Maybe I have it some. It's Prayers of Queen Kundi, but it's actually commentary on that. Here, I think it's 291. I'm pretty sure it's 291. But anyway, so here's the quote. Many people inquire, how did a living entity who is with Krishna fall into the material world? You know, because people ask, you know, it's the spiritual world, everything's bliss, knowledge, everything. How did you fall down? You know, this is, of course, the discussion, fall or no fall. And Prabhupada answers it by describing that we didn't fall down to the material world, which is interesting. That question is answered here. The living entities, fallen living entities' condition is due to the influence of the Lord's material energy. Actually, he has not fallen, Prabhupada said. An example is given. The moon appears to be moving. This is the same example that's here in the light of the Bhagavad and in this chapter of the Bhagavatam. The moon appears to be moving when clouds pass in front of it. Actually, the moon is not moving. Similarly, the living entity, because he is a spiritual spark of the Supreme, has not fallen, but he is thinking, I am fallen, I am material, I am this body. So in other words, we're in the spiritual world. we turned away from Krishna. But anyway, the body has no connection with the soul. We can experience, this is the same thing from the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. So we can experience the body is changing, dying, but I am the same. The idea that we have a connection with the body is due to the influence of the illusory energy of Krishna. That illusory energy develops when we forget Krishna. In other words, our illusory identification with the body is simply due to our forgetfulness of the Lord. We wanted to forget, we wanted to give up Krishna and enjoy in the material world. Therefore, Krishna is giving us the chance. For example, when you play a part in a drama, if you feel I am the king, then you can act very nicely. But if you feel I am Karanda, and Prabhupada is referring to one of his disciples here, then you cannot play a king so nicely. That's like method acting. Anyone's heard of method acting before? Stanislavski, method acting, you know, where you really get into the role so much that you end up marrying the person who is your leading lady in the play. Happens all the time, doesn't it? Yeah. I remember there was one person who played Ram in the Ramayana play, and he came to the Los Angeles temple, and he was smoking cigarettes outside the temple, and the devotees asked him, Ram, why are you smoking cigarettes? And he said, I'm not Ram. Anyway, so the feelings must be there. If you're playing the part of a king, you must believe you're the king and have this courage. You have to forget that you were a Karandar. Then you can play the part very nicely, and the audience will appreciate. But if you think I am Karandar, playing the part of a king, then you cannot play the part convincingly. So because we want it, in other words, Krishna is putting us in illusion so we can play the part convincingly. That's the point. If you think I'm the soul, you can't actually you can't actually carry out your independent desires anymore. Unless there was this illusory energy, you know, without the illusory energy, there's no independence, or at least the independence to serve or not serve Krishna. So the illusory energy is given to us in reciprocation for our desire or with our desire, in accordance with our desire to be independent. So because we want to play the part of Krishna, here we are. This is the part we're playing right now in this material world. And remember, last night we were reading from the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where this is very interesting verse about how the demon thinks, Ishwaraham aham bhogi, siddoham balaban sukhi. What does he think? I am perfect, I am powerful, I am happy. This is the Gayatri mantra of the demon. So because we wanted to play the part of Krishna, the supreme enjoyer, Krishna has given us a chance. Yes, feel like me. Prabhupada is saying, feel like me. The feeling that I'm master, I'm the king, I'm Krishna, I'm God is created by Krishna. That's so cool. All right, since you want to play the part of the king, I shall train you in such a way. This is Krishna talking right now. The director of a play tries to create the feelings within you for the part you are playing. So Krishna's the director, you know, the super soul is the director of the play. So, you know, he, like Prabhupada here talks about his own experiences with a play. In my youth, I played the part of Advaitacharya in a drama about Lord Chaitanya. Our director, Amritalal Bose, repeatedly said to me, "Feel like Advaitacharya." So when I performed my part under his direction, all the people in the audience were crying. The play was artificial, but the effect on the audience was so nice. This is amazing. Similarly, we have nothing to do with the material world, but we've been trained by the illusory energy to think, I'm an Indian, I'm an American, I'm an intellectual, I'm a laborer, I am this, I am that, I have to do this. I have so many duties. These are all illusions. We have nothing to do with all this nonsense. But still, we are taking it very seriously. I have to do like that. I am this. I am that. This is explained here. Atma mayam te rajan parashyanu bhavat manaha. Unless one is influenced by the bewildering energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there's no meaning to the relationship of the pure soul and pure consciousness with the material body. In other words, no meaning. While dreaming, a man may cry out, oh, there's a tiger, save me. An awake man observing may say, where's the tiger? Why are you shouting? But the dreaming man is actually feeling that a tiger has attacked him. Therefore, this verse gives an example of a dream. Sa gahitartha sambandha swapna drashtur ivanjasa. There cannot be any meaning of the relationship of the soul and the body except it is like a dreaming man creating an imaginary situation. He is dreaming that there is a tiger and he is creating a fearful situation. Actually, there is nothing to fear. There is no tiger. The situation is created by a dream. Similarly, We have created the material world. Prabhupada said, we have created the material world and material activity. You know, so Prabhupada would often respond to that. You know, why did Krishna create the material world? Prabhupada would respond, no, you created the material world. You know, one example, one explanation is like the prisoners are the ones who are responsible for the creation of the prison house. People are running around. Oh, I am the manager. I'm the factory owner. I'm the guru. I added that one. I am this. I am that. We know his politics. We have to defeat our competitors. All these things are created just as a man creates a situation in a dream. Swapna drastur ivanjasa. So I think that's... I had some other things I wanted to mention. Here's another... All right, I already mentioned that. Actually, is there a Bhagavad Gita? I wanted to read something from the Bhagavad Gita. Can someone get me a Bhagavad Gita real quickly? Is there one up here? Is this a Bhagavad Gita? No. Give me a Bhagavad Gita, because there's actually some verses. In the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is asked the question by Arjuna, yeah, what is one impelled to act as if by force? Let's say 336. Oh, descendant of Vrishni, by what is one impelled to sinful acts even unwillingly as if engaged by force? And this is a discussion on how to get out of this illusion or how to get out of this forceful action in the material world. And Krishna explains that it is lust only, Arjuna, which is born of the contact with the material modes of passion, later transformed into wrath, which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world. And as far as the coverings of the soul, Krishna here in the next verse describes the different degrees of covering: a mirror covered by dust, embryo covered by the womb, and a living entity. In the same way, a fire covered by smoke, living entity is covered, and our consciousness is covered by different degrees of this lust. And And then there's the famous verse 339. Thus, the wise living entities, actually, they changed the translation here. Is that a man? It doesn't, because the Sanskrit doesn't even say wise in it. It just say a man's living entity. You know, or a living entity's pure consciousness becomes covered by the eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and burns like fire. And then we get a hint on how to overcome this covering, because this covering comes from the senses, the mind, and the intelligence of the sitting places, this lust. The senses, the mind, and the intelligence. And then, oh, Arjuna, best of the Bharatas, in the very beginning, curb this great symbol of sin, lust, by regulating the senses and slay this destroyer of knowledge and self-realization. So these are the hints to how to overcome this covering of the spirit soul. So we have about 1 minute left. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the only answer.
In other words, just even the idea that we're fallen is an illusion. You understand? Because
someone says that they're fallen, you say, you're an illusion.
Yeah, even the idea that you're fallen is an illusion. Because, yes, Asanga, I am Purusha. The spirit soul never touches matter. But we've been given this illusory, I mean, put under the illusory energy of the Lord, because that's our desire to emulate. You know, another example Prabhupada gave is that if a little girl desires to emulate her mother by cooking, the mother gives her a play stove and she gets a chance to make mud pies or something like that. So this is our desire to forget where we are. It's like taking a drug. That you're still in the same place, but you're taking marijuana or whatever, LSD. And you actually think that you're somewhere else. Or in virtual reality, right? You think that you're somewhere else when you're not. You know, it actually happens like that when people are playing video games. They actually forget that they're sitting in front of their computer. But they're not. But they're always in front of their computer. In the same way, we're always with Krishna. It's amazing. So this whole virtual reality hypothesis is verified by...
Thank you. Jayate Shri Krishna Sankirtana Nam Namakari Bodhani Jasarvatati Rapita.